When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alight on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans? Every one of them. How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as other residents of Macedonia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and regions of Libya, bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the mighty works of the God in our own languages. They are also surprised and bewildered. Some of them asked each other, 'What does this mean?' Others jeered at them, saying, 'They are full of new wine.'" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you all join me in prayer? O holy and precious God, on this Holy Spirit Sunday, continue to pour out your Spirit on all of us as we are in worship. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our souls, open us to what you would reveal. It is in your precious name and with great love that we pray. Amen. So of late, I have become fascinated by an aspect of the biblical narrative, and that is the power of the question. There are a lot of questions that are asked in the Bible, and actually they push the narrative forward. And so we're going to talk about those questions. We're going to start with the Old Testament, and a pop quiz for you all. Are you ready? Who asked the very first question in the Bible? I hear. All right. That very first question was asked by a walking, talking serpent in the Garden of Eden that we have come to know in our tradition as, I don't know, Satan? Y'all remember the church lady, right? Yeah, and that question was, did God really say you shouldn't eat from any tree of the garden? There are a lot of other questions. And by the way, humanity did not answer that question well. Okay, just to say. There are other questions asked in the Old Testament that are very powerful. Am I my brother's keeper? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And one of my favorite questions that really isn't a question, it's the word manna. Now, I know you're thinking, Rev Kev, manna? Well, that's the bread that God provided from heaven for the wilderness people, the people who were traveling out of bondage from Egypt. But the literal Hebrew meaning of manna is, what is it? A great question. The New Testament is filled with questions. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother and sister? Up to 7 times? Or good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Can you hear the power of the questions? Jesus asked questions. Who do you say that I am? And what does it profit a man who gained the world but to lose their soul? Paul, if God is for us, who can be against us? Powerful questions, all of them good, and just the tip of the iceberg of questions in our scripture. So I invite you this week, and I know you're going to have a lot of good free time. Don't watch TV. Investigate questions in scripture. It's fascinating, very fascinating. Because today we are going to be encountering a question on this Happy Birthday Pentecost Memorial Day Sunday. A very powerful question. And that question is simply, what does this mean? This question, well, say that with me. What does this mean? Again, what does this mean? Because I'm telling you, we probably are asking the same question every time we encounter the scripture that Larry shared with us. That question was asked by perplexed witnesses to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit on believers of Jesus who were in Jerusalem for the celebration of Shavuot, the festival of weeks, on the 50th day since the first day of Passover, called Pentecost. So as we are figuring out what does this mean, I figured it's probably good to be on the same page when we talk about the Holy Spirit. So a few things I'll share with you. If you want to argue with me after the service, that's okay. But a few things that I kind of keep on my heart are these. Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, the Spirit of God, is mentioned over 500 times in both the Old and New Testament. In the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, the primary word is the word ruach. That sound great? Say that with me, ruach, because that's just a fun word. Ruach. And ruach simply means spirit or breath or wind and air. It is ruach that is blowing over the waters of chaos in the very first verses of Genesis. It is ruach that God breathes into a God-made lump of clay to make into a living being. You see, ruach, God's spirit, is a creating and life-giving force. It is the source of existence. It is the animation behind our lives. New Testament, you don't have as many Hebrew words there. Language is primarily Greek and Aramaic. And the word there for spirit, for wind, for breath, is pneuma. You want to say that with me? Say that with me, pneuma. Because that's also a fun word. Words for spirit are fun to say. Pneuma. And pneuma, probably one of the best descriptions of that came from theologian Ted Peters. He says, you know, that is the very vitality of life. Pneuma energizes the process of resurrection. Resurrection that ties us to the saving work of Jesus Christ and brings us all together as a church. The Apostle Paul says a lot about the Holy Spirit, the pneuma. What Paul talks about, he says, you know, in several of his letters, he says, the Holy Spirit gives believers certain gifts, certain abilities, certain vocations, certain ways of expressing themselves that build up the church, these spiritual gifts that are given by the Spirit. He talks about this in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. And you can find those there. And then Paul says in Galatians that if you are filled with the Spirit, if you live with the Spirit, if you listen to the Spirit, then you start to see amazing things around you called the fruit of the Spirit. That's in Galatians 5, and I invite you to read that there. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist tradition, talked a lot about the power of the Holy Spirit. And for Wesley, the Holy Spirit was the very same thing as God's grace, really. And the power of God's grace and the Holy Spirit was to counsel us, was to comfort us, was to bring us together as a people. Friends, the Holy Spirit isn't just a wild and crazy thing. It's not about Pentecostal churches only. It's not even about our Methodist history, which is full of Holy Spirit moments. It is so much more. The Holy Spirit is essential to us. That's why Jesus promises his disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come. And there are at least two accounts of the coming of the Holy Spirit. One is in the Gospel of John. And then we heard Larry's account today. And how amazing was that? That's just the wildest special effects story that I've read in the Bible. Howling wind from heaven. Little flames. I don't even know how that looks like. You know, on your bulletins, I have some art But that can't express exactly what that looks like, that Holy Spirit flame on people's heads and them walking around with that on. It's like little flame hats or something. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I'm fascinated by that. And is that where the question, what does this mean? Is that what it's directed toward? Perhaps. But I believe that really what that question is directed toward is what the witnesses see in the lives of the believers. The impact of the Holy Spirit on the lives of the believers. Because they start to do something really wild. They start to speak in other languages. And if these were educated people, if these were higher class people, perhaps the witnesses could understand. But these were Galileans. Somebody in the Gospel of John says, can anything good come out of Galilee? So we hear, as Luke is telling this story, we hear Luke share that all these Galileans are speaking these different languages. Now I want to be clear on the languages that they're speaking, because Paul talks about languages too. That's one of those gifts, speaking in tongues. We don't talk a lot about that in the United Methodist Church. You know, it is part of our tradition. And we'll talk about that sometime perhaps. But speaking in tongues is something called glossolalia, another beautiful word. And glossolalia simply is the language of angels. It's a prayer language. Sometimes when I'm saying the Lord's Prayer, I get into some glossolalia. So if you hear some words change, that's what happens. But basically, when somebody has that gift, then they are so deep in prayer that they express themselves in a certain way. And someone who has the gift of interpreting what they're saying, has the gift of interpretation, then can interpret what they say for the good of the church. Can you hear what I'm saying? Speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, is meant not for, oh, look how cool this is, but for the good of building up the church. All that said, that's not what's being talked about here. The followers of Jesus are speaking the very languages of the people all around them. No other languages from other countries, the languages of the people all around them, those that live in Jerusalem and those who have come in for Shavuot. And they're speaking these languages, and it's not just anything that they're talking about, right? What they are discussing are what they're proclaiming, what they're declaring, what they are just shouting out loud are the mighty works of God. And that, friends, is what I believe this question is asked. What does this mean? And people are curious, they're wanting to find out, but not everybody, right? There are those that look at him and go, oh, poor drunk and wasted people. Partying again, blabbering again. Now, sometimes I read this story and I go, why would they do that? But then you have to think, well, how open am I to the good news coming from the Holy Spirit? The change coming from the Holy Spirit. How open are you? Do you even know the Holy Spirit operating in your life? Holy Spirit is. Does that seem like something strange and odd? That's God's Spirit living in your lives. How about us as a church? How open are we to the transformation that's done through the Holy Spirit? What happened on that day long ago, on that 50th day since Passover, on Pentecost, in the midst of the Festival of Weeks, was the transformation that witnessed the birth of the church. Why? Because the true wonder of this story is this. Jesus' followers finally found their voice. And they couldn't help but share their voice. How does the Holy Spirit empower your voice to share that good news with your family, with your friends, with everyone out there? If you say that I'm exempt from that, I might question that a little bit, because the very reason why you're here is because of the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? I believe what it means is the outpouring of God's love. Holy Spirit love that now fills us all in a way that hasn't been done before and is still capable of filling us with love that we can share with others. But I'm not the only one to provide an answer to the question, what does this mean? Peter does too. So I'm going to share Peter's message with you. But you're going to be a part of it. And I need you to practice this because I'm going to motion to you. And here are the words that you will say at a certain time. Are you ready? Brothers, what should we do? So let's practice. Brothers, what should we do? When you see me do this, that's when I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to do this, and I expect to hear, brothers, what should we do? All right. So I invite you now to hear Peter's words. And as I do, I don't want you just to hear the words. I want you to put your mind as though you were there. As though you were there on that Pentecost with all this strange going on, this howling wind, these tongues of fire, these languages being spoken, the mighty acts of God proclaimed. Be there, see Peter, and hear Peter as he said, Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man whose credentials God proved to you through miracles, wonders, and signs, which God performed through him among you. You yourselves know this. In accordance with God's established plan and foreknowledge, he was betrayed. You, with the help of wicked men, had Jesus killed by nailing him to the cross. God raised him up. God freed him from death's dreadful grip, since it was impossible for death to hang on to him. David said this about him. I foresaw that the Lord was always with me. Because he is at my right hand, I won't be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my body will live in hope because you won't abandon me to the grave, nor permit your Holy One to experience decay. You have shown me the path of life. Your presence will fill me with happiness. Brothers and sisters, I can speak confidently about the patriarch David. He died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Because he was a prophet, he knew that God promised him with a solemn pledge to seat one of his descendants on his throne. Having seen this beforehand, David spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he wasn't abandoned to the grave, nor did his body experience decay. This Jesus, God raised up. We are all witnesses to that fact. He was exalted to God's right side and received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. And he poured out the Spirit. And you are seeing and you are hearing the results of his having done so. David didn't ascend into heaven. Yet he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right side until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel and Harrisonville know beyond question that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ.
Brothers, what shall we do?
Change your hearts and lives. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God invites. Good church, take up this invitation. Let that Holy Spirit love fill your heart and change this world. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.